Right, Julie Phelps.
We have the Basis Christmas mug. I see it's a used Basis Christmas mug. Just to say it's used.
Is that what I get? A used one?
That's the one you get. God, get it in the right place. There it is. Only available at the Basis 2022 seminars. Can't get it anywhere else. You can't even order online or mail order or say, could you send me a Christmas mug? No. Only people who go to the conference on Saturday the 17th get this mug. And when Christmas is over, you can do this and have it after Christmas. Right? That's Claire's design, based on a design that I had made, and then she modified it. And then she put the detail in the eyes.
Oh, that makes all the difference.
It does. Scary. Right. I've just been speaking to guys from Sky. I used to be with all those years ago. And a whole pile of things happening in football. But we leave that for another show. Okay, we've got Simon Miles talking about the René Le Chateau and the alignments of a whole pile of critical alignments there with the stars and everything else. Very important work, not about some priest who found some money in a old building. Then we've got Peter Padgett, who's former science advisor to the government when he was 17 years old, writer and publisher of the Welsh Triangle, and he's going to talk about the Black Triangle. That's about Wales and a lot of UFO stuff there. And you might have something to say about that.
I'm in the centre of that bit, the Welsh Triangle. But yeah. I've got his books. I've got two of his books.
My God.
Yeah, I know.
And artwork by Lloyd Canning on one of the books. Mm. Then we got the wonderful Elena, somebody or other. Gosh, she's... I forgot. Oh, God. Elaine. And she is she's actually local, and she's actually got some connections with Elena Danan, but also the last speaker of the day is, the last speaker of the day is Alexandra Quinn. So he's going to send us off on a merry thing and a happier sort of frame of mind. And we've got Claire herself, and she'll sort of, I think, open the day with Basis Actual. And some of the material that she's gone through actually are the same drawings, and she's seen very similar things as to what Elena Danan has published in her book.
Right, yeah.
But
which have seen some of the aliens that Elena Danan has put in a book. I recognise them and cross-reference them. I haven't got them with me right this second, but exactly the same, or, you know, the slightly different tunic, but exactly the same reptilian, which was, as she put, not a friendly one, and I would totally agree.
Well, that's a big deal. It's a lot of these pictures that, I'm going through some pictures of a very close friend of mine called Alice Slight. I first met her way back to about 1997 at the Bar Gin in Honey Street. And there's an American there. And she'll call Karen. And she had drawn some very intricate ETs in her reference book that she'd made. And I was able to take some flash photographs. It was in her tent at the barge, and it was at night. So it was basically flat, you know, take what you got, but it was taken with flash. And unfortunately, everything on the left-hand page reflected, because it was all these wonderful drawings were in her, in those plastic sleeves. And I don't know where Karen is, but we lost contact. You were talking 25 years ago, 1997. Long, long time ago, and that's when I first met Alice, and it was while going through that. And Alice was actually was a former girlfriend of John Lear, way back in the days when he was learning how to fly. And Alice also was very keen on the learning remote viewing, and she also contributed to the C-SETI thing that Dr. Stephen Greer was doing now, and that was way back in the year 2000. But of course, things have changed since then. But somebody else called Julie Phelps is at the conference. And she's going to be milling about, sort of helping to sell my mugs. But you may be doing something else. So, Julie Phelps.
Yes.
Over
I
to
am
you.
Going to do a presentation. And the thing is, I've been getting... I don't stand still like any of us. We're learning as we go along. And more is being disclosed, not to just to me. It seems to be across the board. And we're kind of connecting. A lot of us are getting similar downloads and similar paths being sort of discovered as we go along. And recently, I've been getting more and more downloads from more another group of ETs, which I'm not sure. They're not letting me see who they are, but I'm getting the positive anyway. And my presentation is going to be about the global changes that are coming. So not just the changes, but linked with the prophecies and scientific predictions. This all keys in with the depopulation, the negative ETs trying to rush along the harvest, because it is a harvest. Because as we're seeing, I think Sandy Glaze may have covered this.
I've just stopped editing Sandy's thing. Essentially, the conclusion there, they just haven't killed enough of us and they need to get on with the job.
They do. And they're really going to aim for that. But there are also a huge amount of distractions. Now, some of it is about surviving up until the shift occurs. And then we'll get help from the ETs. But the reason we can't yet is because the good ETs, there's a conflict in space. So if the good ETs intervene too much before then we may not survive much past that anyway. So it's about survival right up to then. But they are pushing it, as you said, Miles. I mean, they're doing it in different ways in different countries. In Canada, as Sandy probably said, they're really pushing the suicide pods.
Yes.
As soon as anybody's ill...
Now, hold on. You're talking about the suicide pod. You can buy these. You can buy them in blue and in red.
Yeah, they're literally, and not just that, any way of, like, assisted suicide. In Britain, in Canterbury and Oxford, Canterbury's the next one, already being rolled out very shortly next year. It's Oxford and Canterbury are rolling out the zones. So literally the smart city zones where you were... Oxford's trialling fines for if you go... more than 100 times out of your zone in Oxford, which is completely stupid.
But how do people go to work?
Exactly. It's about really hitting people. And then Canterbury's even worse. They're looking at fines straight away next year. So they're really bringing...
You're talking 2023, January the 1st.
Yeah, so they're rolling these things out behind the scenes... without making too much emphasis on it, but more and more people are trying to pick up on these things. So they're not quite...
So, I mean, I drove into London, I had a diesel car, and I got fined £20 basically for going in there. Is that the sort of thing you're talking about?
Yes, but even worse than that, they're going to zone the different city. It won't matter what car you've got either. It's about keeping you in your zone area.
So how are people literally expected to literally live?
The whole point is they don't want you living. The whole point is they're trying to roll out these things. I mean, here they're rolling out and they've just turned it on, but they haven't turned it up yet. It's 6G. And the 6G,
what exactly is 6G? What frequency?
Well, I was reading up about it, and the criteria means that the power they can use behind the frequencies is far higher, and they can direct it easy. So they can direct it to people's houses individually. And they actually say that on the site. So they say that they can amplify your signal if you're in a room with a poor signal, which means they can amplify it a lot more than that to a kill slot. It really is a weapon. And the tower just at the end of just a bit further than the end of the road, it's huge. I call them the kill towers because that's what they are. But they're using different methods even now. But they are trying to race forward with all this because they've not killed as many people as they quite...
So what's their target and what's their timetable?
the target is harvesting before.
Now, what do you mean by harvest? Are you talking about bodies taken away? I mean, this is a thing which Sandra was mentioning along the various highways in Toronto and Ontario. They've got these loads, 50, 60, maybe hundreds of white plane trailers. A lot of them with refrigeration, so it would be very suitable for them to kill people and keep them, you know, ready for, you know, eating.
Yeah, I mean, even in certain districts now, I was looking up the crematoriums, right, and they started to bring in generators from the crematoriums. So what they're going to say is, as we burn the bodies, you will do your bit for your carbon by actually powering the generation of electricity for other people. While they burn you.
That's basically Solient Green.
Oh, that well, movie. You're not eating it, you're creating power by it, but Solent Green is most certainly on its way as well. I've got no doubt at all. But it's about us being aware so we can act and we can survive the system until the shift comes. Now, the shift is going to be, I'm going to cover this in my presentation. Now, there's various predictions. I'm not going to cover Nostradamus because he's been done to death, really.
Well, you've got Edgar Cayce.
I'm going to look at Edgar Cayce, but also Mary Julie Jehenna. She's one of them. She was a religious figure. Padre Pio, or Saint Padre Pio. I'm also going to look at the Hopi predictions. But I'm only going to cover them briefly because I've got a hell of a lot to cover. But so I've got those I'm covering, as well as who else am I going to cover? Elias Ehrmeyer. He's a German, so I've found it.
Julie, it's probably a good idea if you brush up on the pronunciation, just so
I
that.
I know,
so
but I'm dyslexic, so it's
people
difficult.
People can understand what you're saying.
I know.
Well, nobody. I'm not. I'm just whispering this because I don't want anybody else to know. Oh, like no, you know, no. Learn. I would never be able to mispronunciate things.
Oh,
I'm an official mispronunciator.
But anyway, and then Mother Shipton, her predictions, which are very apt. They all key in together, and there's a huge selection of prophecies that have. They all have similar characteristics.
Which are.
3 days of darkness, the fact that we're going to have major solar flares, flooding, major flooding, and how to survive all this.
Now, Gloria Davenport, Gaynor Davenport, she's talking about her husband has talked about how in Egyptian art, one half of the face is different to the other half of the face. One eye is physically different. And what he's noticed is that it's as if the whole picture has turned.
Yes.
And that is to indicate a rotation of the earth switching east-west exactly. Back again.
I'm actually covering that because, like, the order of the black sun, this is going to cover as well. And this keys into the ancient Egyptians as well.
Well, the ancient Egyptians aren't the current Egyptians. The people who once inhabited Egypt.
No, yeah. I'm talking about the ancient Egyptians and the winged solar disk and also reset. So re as in Ra, as in solar disk, and set as in the god set, who is a god of chaos, destruction, disaster, but he also is a god of kind of a reset of the sun, because he actually defends against Apep, which is the god who is a destroyer of all. But he fights that off. So there isn't a total negative from this. So I'll relate that with the solar having a reset, but also, but for only 3 days. So this is what science.
Well, we have a 3-day thing every time we have a solstice. The earth hovers As oh, well, it's not a hover. The sun hovers at the same position for 3 days.
If you're
on the wrong side of the planet, you're gonna have 3 days of darkness, because if you're in the North Pole or whatever, and it's winter there, you get 3 days of it, so to speak.
Also, the sun is going to be because of the particulates coming from the central sun, it's going to really lessen the power of the sun. So it's going to shroud it a bit, like having a huge dust cloud, except it's a particle cloud.
Edmund Marriage's stuff, 12,652 years ago in 10 minutes.
It's exactly what you're saying. And this keys in with the prophecies. It also keys in with Ben Davidson's work from Suspicious Observers. He's been collating a lot of scientific evidence from all different sort of scientific discoveries.
Is this the Professor Davis? He did some stuff on...
He's actually done great work, and he's on YouTube as well. So Suspicious Observers on YouTube, very good site to look at, because he brings in the scientific papers. Now, even NASA are starting to admit some of this, but they're kind of downplaying it.
Well, what was this Artemis thing, this fiasco of a stupid Apollo thing?
Just distractions. I mean, there's a huge element of distractions at the moment, but there's also very serious. So we still need to keep a heads up of what's going on, because they're trying to attack us in different ways. But I'm also looking at preparations to survive this cataclysm that's coming, but it's not going to be yet. So we've got plenty of time to prepare for that.
Well, what sort of plenty of time is that?
Probably around, between 2042 and 2046. You say, well, I might not be here then.
Well, that is at the end of the full solar inversion of the magnetic fields, when you have two magnetic fields.
Exactly.
These are having a huge effect. They're only beginning to start.
It's going to shift the planet at that point. But the ways, what I'm looking at is the ancient mounds and long barrows, the way they face and the way they're shaped, they're like ships. So they're like land ships. To survive, to what I am picking up, they use those to survive the previous shift of the planetary shift.
You're talking about the rotation.
Yes, the actual shift of the planet. So we can survive this. They've survived, we can. But we do need to be aware to be able to survive. I mean, places like Turkey, they have a lot of cave systems there that are very ancient, that have survived.
Yeah, I mean,
They're a very good place to survive. So is part of Spain. But when you're a slightly lower level like us, we're going to have to use different methods, because we ain't going to be high enough up probably to survive certain aspects of this.
So what do you mean by high enough up? Are you talking latitude or altitude?
Altitude, but even so, we may get washed completely over by water here, but we are most certainly capable of surviving that. This is what I'm picking up, because if you're on a ship, chances are you'll be capsized and you won't survive. You'll be good in a submarine, but even in a submarine you might not survive, because of the induction level of the solar effect, which is like an induction cooker. So you may get fried inside of a flipping submarine.
Well, this is the other thing that they're talking about. You'll have all this knowledge, and we will lose all our memories.
Well, I'm starting to memorize things in a different way. My memory is almost like I'm shifting it almost like off planet. It's almost like Akashic records now. I don't think in the same way I used to. It's totally different now. And that might be, hopefully, a beneficial side that the ETs have been helping me with. So my mind won't get wiped, because I'm not actually using that part of my mind now. I'm connecting in a different way. So these are the aspects I'm going to go through and how to survive. But I'm going to go through in a lot more detail, obviously.
This is sort of a fast blast. Any other little things apart from wanting to get a mug?
Well, get your bums on seats, because I'm perfectly willing to talk to people afterwards, or, you know, meet up afterwards.
There is a special guest that we hope to have who's been through hell. Quite a few of the bassist people have been through hell, and some of them haven't come back.
Yeah,
but exactly. Hopefully that person will be there, and it'll be sort of a short, sharp day. Lunches will be at the pub or the local cafe, but we've got a very short lunch break, 1 hour 15 minutes. So the speakers, the Royal Oak, is lunch, and bring your own snacks or buy them at the petrol station before you come in, because our teas and coffee people aren't able to provide a service at the hall, but they do have the cafe, which is a very short walk away. Any final words?
No, but it is a positive end to what I'm talking about as well. But it is about us being prepared. And as we get further on, it's not just me. Across the board, people are starting to key into this. I mean, the dark journalist is starting to cover this sort of thing.
He's got a lot of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Atlantis Rising.
I mean, Peter, I've been talking to Peter a little bit. He's got aspects as well. So
you're talking about Peter Padgett.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're all kind of keying in now, which is really, really valuable. It means we're all starting to tune in to what's going on. Because you don't want to be, it's not that you don't want to be the only one doing it, but it's about us all as humanity surviving.
You mentioned the Zarbi. Is that the correct phrase?
The what? Sorry.
The Zarbi.
The Zarbi?
Well, Zarb, Scarby or something.
No, I don't know what you mean.
Big feckers, hairy feckers.
Oh, you mean Zarbe.
Zarbe. Jesus. How do you spell that word?
Sasquatch. S-A-B-E.
Sasquatch. S-A-B-E.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the Sasquatch. Yeah, and they're getting seen all over in every country now, increasingly. They're even being spotted in Australia now. And they're in Wales. There's more and more being spotted in Wales now.
Now, when they say you've been, are they allowing us to see them, or is it because of the compression?
Because of the shift. It's partly because of the shift, but I think we have a deep connection with them. And they are humanoid. Now, I would call them in-betweeners because you have good and bad. So you can't guarantee if you meet one, you're going to be a little bit careful because they're like humans. You know, you can
meet... Well, like any species, you know.
You know, it's like, but I know I've seen them personally, and I know a lot of friends who've seen them as well. So...
And what happens when you see them?
Well, at the moment, I'm still a bit scared of them. I'm not 100% brilliant yet, but I'm getting there.
You mean worse than me in a bad day when I've lost something?
I'll just avoid you then.
Well, on that positive note, that's enough for now. We'll call that a day on this little fast blast on Monday. We've got to get this up quickly, and we're editing like hell to get things done. And we've got to get all our kits sorted out. Get all that sort of sorted. So see you on Saturday.
Yep.
Good.
It'll be really, really good.
And I apologise to Elaine for forgetting her second name.
At least you remembered my name.
God, Jesus. Okay, bye for now.
Bye.